ABC Radio Australia.
Rising sea levels, a warmer world, climate change is being seen as the world's biggest threat, requiring immediate action. But while it's a global problem, the solution lies in countries' domestic climate policies. So world leaders will gather in what's expected to be the biggest international conference since the start of the pandemic to discuss their commitments in just over 2 weeks' time. As Talia Oletia reports, just getting to the meeting itself could be half the battle for Pacific countries.
For 2 weeks, starting October 31st, the future of the world gets decided. It sounds like the plot of a Hollywood movie, but that's why this year's UN climate talks, otherwise known as COP26, is a pivotal moment. It's the world's best last chance to get runaway climate change under control. In an ideal world, Pacific Islands are hoping for a commitment to cap global warming at 1.5 degrees, and to do that, the global community has to halve its emissions by 2030 and reach net zero by 2050.
The commitments to be made at this meeting is crucial. Glasgow, therefore, could be the point of no return.
That was Samoa's Prime Minister, Fiamme Naomi Mataafa, speaking at a virtual climate event last week. And Solomon Islands political Pacific commentator Dr. Transform Angarau agrees.
It truly requires an international, global effort to address and mitigate some of the consequences and effects of climate change. So we need to take also a long-term view, but you know, setting the foundations now is important.
While there's no argument about the significance of these global talks, getting to Scotland from the Pacific is proving to be the challenge, and that's because of the global pandemic.
Coming in and out of Palau, we only have one flight via Guam. And then from there, you know, heading towards mainland US with some stopping points on the way to Glasgow.
That's Xavier Matsutaro, the National Climate Change Coordinator for Palau.
So to get to Glasgow, it'll take us about 4 days because of the flight restrictions and limited flights.
Palau is one of the countries who are able to attend with a delegation of nearly 30 members.
It's a pretty decent sized team. It's the biggest we've had from government officials actually going. And that's because of really this concern that we have and this sense of urgency.
But the issue of trying to get back from Glasgow with quarantine requirements means some Pacific countries like the Federated States of Micronesia and Kiribati won't even leave the ground. And Mr. Matsutaro knows the impact of not having those extra Pacific voices to join the united fight at COP26.
Each time you have less representatives that are there face-to-face, it's one less resource that you have in your toolbox to really try and push for the issues.
The ABC understands Australia has offered travel assistance to some Pacific countries. For the countries that won't be able to make the talks in person, Samoa's Prime Minister Fiamme Naomi Mataafa hopes a virtual attendance might be possible.
We sincerely hope that the hosts could entertain, you know, virtual participation in the workings of the COP26 meeting.
The ABC is yet to confirm with organisers what alternative arrangements are for those who can't attend in person. Dr. Angarau says the Pacific Cultural Way means face-to-face talks are preferred for both efficacy and efficiency.
It's a cultural thing too, I think, to a large extent. Being able to meet physically and talk and sit around the table and talanoa is very important in coming to an agreement. And huge differences can be arrived at simply by having coffee with each other or having a shell of kava with each other.
And Xavier Matsutaro says connections and negotiations at events like this also happen outside of meeting rooms.
It's those talks in the elevator, in the coffee shops, that actually really do make the difference. It's not always these formal talks that gets us in the direction we need to. It's those more closer, intimate, interpersonal relations that you develop over the 3 weeks of time spent there that kind of brings out a little bit more of the humanity side of things rather than just these words that you're trying to put on paper.
While not all Pacific countries will get to be there in person, for those that will, like Xavier Matsutaro, they're hoping their voice will be enough.
And we're really hoping that the sense of urgency is felt strongly enough that in spite of not every country will be able to be there face to face, that we will move the needle, hopefully to the point where we can feel comfortable in reaching that 1.5 degrees Celsius aspiration.
Both the years 2030 and 2050 are not far away. And for Pacific Islanders like Dr. Transform Angarau, their hopes for the future is the security of their children.
Knowing that our children and their children after them will not have to be displaced physically, that their islands will not be inundated, they will not go under the sea. That to me would be a great outcome.